Podcast. 22-minute podcast. Don't want to take up much of your time. Just gonna read some headlines. Stuff.
Welcome to Real Quick, a 22-minute podcast production. I am your host, Wes Sievertson. Yeah, this is another 22-minute podcast just to get you through part of your day, your commute. But this one is about film and TV, and isn't that a clever pun of a name? Yeah, this is episode two of Real Quick. It's a continuation of a little, I suppose, series that we're doing, if you want to say that. I don't know. They're related, that you can say that. We're continuing down the list of comedies from 2008. Last week we just went with the top six, and I kind of went in more depth with those, and play a little bit of audio and stuff like that. I wanted to do more, and honestly, a lot of those movies do require and deserve much more attention. So we will later, maybe episode 4 or 5 or something after we go through this list and finish it off. We'll just do a 22-minute episode dedicated to Tropic Thunder or Pineapple Express. I think that would be fun. But today we are just gonna bust through the rest of the top list. We did the top six, and they included In Bruges, Be Kind, Rewind, Pineapple Express, Tropic Thunder, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and the Trailer Park Boys movie. All complete, absolute bangers with not a second that I don't enjoy. And obviously, they're big Hollywood movies, all of them, pretty much, except for Trailer Park Boys. That's just a really special gem. So, yes, we are moving on, and there are 21 movies left that I at least saw and remember well enough to comment on. And so yeah, we're just going to round that off. And I think that'll probably take up the entire episode 2 here. If not, you know what? There's more stuff I can move on to, and we'll get to that. I don't want to tell you what that would be. I already kind of mentioned it last episode. Just in case we don't get to it, I don't want to mention it. And we'll just do it. We'll do it on episode 3. But, I do want to get through these last four tier options. Because remember, I broke this down into 5 tiers. There was the top, and that was the top. That's what it is. It's tops. It's best stuff. And then those were those 6. And today we're going to go through V-Good, very good movies. Movies that are really, really good. They just kind of lacked something. And this is obviously my opinion, so I'll express what I think that they lacked. Tier 3 is good movies. These are movies that you really can't knock them at all. Like, they're not horrible in any way. They just didn't have anything special, and they also, that special is what put, it's not, having something special really is what pushes you over to tier 1. Tier 2 is, you just don't quite have that something special, but Jesus, it was dang close. These guys are just good movies. Good movies. Nothing wrong with that. Like, if you make a good movie, hell yeah. Like, I would be thrilled to be a part of a good movie. That sounds so gratifying, like so much fun. Tier 4 is just effort. So these aren't really good, but hey, they made a movie. Like, it from beginning to end, the production quality's fine. It's good. But overall, the movie itself just doesn't really have much to it. It's not, maybe they're comedies, right? So maybe it's not, just doesn't bang. Just doesn't bang on that comedic level. And that's really what it comes down to. There might be moments, but those moments are also what keeps them from being on the bottom tier, which is the 5th tier, and that tier is trash. These movies are just trash. There's really nothing redeemable about them, and that's, again, my opinion, but fuck it, because I dare you. Alright, so, yeah, tier number 2, very good movies, comedy movies from 2008 that this guy remembers. I am going to put these tier by tier through the shuffle machine here. So here we go. So the V-Good movies. Here we go. Shuffling now. All right. So number 1, Semi-Pro. Okay, so there's 2 Will Ferrell movies on the second tier here. So I'll just do that one. I'll do these together. Semi-Pro and Step Brothers. I love these movies. Here's the thing. If you're not a Will Ferrell fan, then these are just going to be in the trash, most likely, bucket for you. Because, yeah, he has a style. He made yelling funny. I don't know what to tell you. He made yelling and being an idiot funny in his own way, and I'm a huge fan. So yeah, Semi-Pro. Because this is a really fucking funny movie, and it being set in like industrial 70s Detroit really adds to it. Like that. Overall, this was really close in my opinion. Honestly, I know that some seriously, if you don't like Will Ferrell, just fuck off. This conversation isn't for you. This was so close to being on my top tier tops. The only thing that gets me is that it's such a ridiculous movie, and that's what I love about it. But then at the end, they almost try to go too serious, like heartfelt sports movie. Like they didn't remain ridiculous enough. They attempted to have too much of an emotional through line. Like if it just would have been Woody Harrelson's character and what's her name? I can't remember her name. Shoot. She's a great actor. She's in Tommy Boy, or is it Black Sheep? Tommy Boy. And she's been in a bunch of stuff. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. But yeah, like you could have just had that and had Woody Harrelson's, you know, character arc. He gets back with his wife or whatever, and that would have been enough of like, oh, look at this kind of the heartfelt love story that was trickled through this absolutely stupid, ridiculous movie. But at the end, it was just like, you know, but they got to win the game, and they could have just really approached it differently. It felt too much like they were trying to be serious and just didn't really work. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, really great, love it, check it out. Everybody love everybody. Step Brothers. Same kind of deal. Like, I can't really pinpoint what it was. It just kind of fell off closer to the end. I mean, once you're through the ride of them being dicks to one another and then kind of teaming up and being dicks to their parents and those shenanigans, it just kind of falls off. There's like no reason to watch the last like 5 minutes of that 5-10 minutes of that movie. There are some funny parts, but there is a great line about like I've been taking baby aspirin for my heart or whatever. Like that's a funny line, but the tone of the movie drops off in so many ways. But I do love it, and that's why it's on the very good. All right, next up on the very good tier list, Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day. Listen, this is one of those movies that surprised me, right? Like I didn't know I was gonna enjoy this movie so much. It's not a perfect movie, but it's so damn charming. And Amy Adams and Frances McDormand, they're great. It's just a nice movie to watch. There's really nothing overly special about it. That's why it's not on that top list, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's a fun little movie. Charming. All right, last on the very good tier, on the two tier, Burn After Reading, Coen Brother movie. You know, for me, the thing about Burn After Reading is just like The Big Lebowski, it's about nothing, and nothing happens. Like it starts with the threat of there being a possibility of there's something happening, but ultimately it's all full of nothing. Like, and that's the truth about the Big Lebowski as well. Is like no one really ever stole any money, no one was really ever kidnapped. Like, and that's the thing about Burn After Reading is no one took that guy's memoir, or I'm sorry, no one has inside information. But also no one has John. I mean, they do have John Malkovich's like memoir, but they don't care that it's his memoir. And it is very much a Big Lebowski, another version of the Big Lebowski, just without, it's just not as fun. That's just really what it comes down to. It's just not as fun of a movie. And that's really what makes the Big Lebowski special, is it can be so fun and entertaining and take you along for a ride that goes absolutely nowhere. But you have fun watching them go in circles. And Burn After Reading just didn't really have that. There are some fun moments. I do love whenever Brad Pitt gets caught in the closet and the look on his dumb, just empty smile that he gives George Clooney right before George Clooney blows his brains out. It's a very dark comedy moment. Anyway, it's a great movie. I really do like it. It just did not have what The Big Lebowski did. And I think that's really the effort it was trying to make, was another kind of circle, you know, going nowhere, going in circles movie, comedy from the Coen brothers. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So tier three, the good movies. So these, yeah, right. Like, I can't say that they're my favorite, and honestly, there are some awkward moments in a lot of these, but they were still pretty damn good. You know, like, if you had to rate them on IMDb, they're a solid 7, and that's really fucking good in my opinion. I will go watch a 7 in the theaters any fucking day. So, all right. So on tier three, good. Let me shuffle these guys. Highlight, shuffle. Cool. Oh, Hamlet 2. Starting on Hamlet 2. Hamlet 2 is just a fun movie. I love Steve Coogan, right? That's his name, Steve Coogan. He's really great in a bunch of stuff. And so this is just another kind of corner of his type of humor. Definitely is like a controversial kind of movie, because it's called Hamlet 2, but it also involves Jesus. And it's just really weird. But it's definitely like kind of a dry... It's also a theater kind of humor, so if you were ever involved in theater or whatever, like, there's a little something special for you there too. So, yeah, you know, good, but a lot of the jokes fall flat. It's not for everybody, but it is a fun little movie, and has some great moments, that's for sure. Let's see, number two on the tier three list from 2008 comedies, Ghost Town. That's a Ricky Gervais movie. He had just kind of blown up because, you know, he got a lot of notoriety because of The American Office. People loved The American Office so much, you know, and that came out in 2005, that he kind of had a second, or like, a, no, no, and really that was like his career in America was after that. And, you know, stand up. I don't remember when The Invention of Lying came out. I want to say like 2006, but that could be wrong. But both Ghost Town and The Invention of Lying were Ricky Gervais movies that like seemingly had a pretty clever or interesting concept that ultimately, if you just watch them, man, like, third act problems. You have a lot of fun through the first two acts, and then it just doesn't really resolve in a satisfying way at all. But yeah, you know, they put a movie on there. It's fine. It's, yeah. Listen, some of these movies, I don't know. It's best to compare them to one another, because I think Hamlet 2 is really fun. I really enjoy that. I really enjoy watching Ghost Town. It's just not, like, special at all. Same thing with the next one, Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Love Seth Rogen movies. I love... Kevin Smith humor every now and then, I guess. I can't say that I really love Dogma. Like, that's a really good one. And, you know, the first Clerks is obviously great. And he's very quippy, and it can be a lot of fun. But Zach and Miri, again, there's some really funny moments. But overall, it's just a weird, awkward movie that I think tries to put sex in the middle of comedy in, like, a just an uncomfortable way. Because then they, like, fall in love over it. And it just did not do a good job of building that romantic tension to then... Whenever Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks' character, you know, make love on screen, and that's, like, supposed to be kind of the climax of the movie because they, like... It's, like, genuine love that they're having, that they're making. It doesn't feel right. It feels awkward. Like, they didn't have chemistry, and they didn't take time to try to build that chemistry. So it just falls flat. But it is a good movie. I mean, you know, it has good beats, good storytelling. Craig Robinson's hilarious. What's his name? Jay, who's Jay and Silent Bob. He's pretty funny in it. There's a porn star in it. She's actually really funny. I can't remember her name. Katie Morgan. I do remember her name. She was one of those where, like, she had, like, Showtime shows, specials, interviewing her about, like, I don't know why HBO and Showtime did that kind of shit, but definitely 13-year-old me would check them out. So yeah, Katie Morgan, she's really funny in it, actually. So good for her. Yeah, it's okay. It's a good movie, and that's what I'm saying. That's what we're doing. We're doing tier three, the good movies. Not great, definitely not bad. Let's see, we got a couple more, two more. The House Bunny. Again, this movie has great moments. Anna Faris is fucking hilarious. Kat Dennings is charming and also really cute as, like, the goth girl who kind of finds her confidence. Like, it's a fun fucking movie. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's just not... A lot of it does fall flat, especially now. And a lot of it's kind of cringe because I think they were trying to... They were trying to Legally Blonde, you know, like Anna Faris's character, but she's just kind of trashy. Like, so it's again, it's just a little awkward when I don't think it means to be. Yeah, but it is a lot of fun. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. The House Bunny. Yeah. All right, last one on tier three, Choke, a Chuck Palahniuk book adaptation, just like Fight Club. But not like Fight Club. It's more sex-centered. It's actually kind of a sexy movie, I think, with Sam Rockwell and, oh my gosh, is it Kelly MacDonald? Now I gotta look it up. 1 second. I think it is Kelly MacDonald. Is that right? Is that her name? I could be remembering. It is Kelly MacDonald. And gosh, I just have a thing for Kelly MacDonald. She is a cutie, even now. Oh, and Jillian Jacobs was in it. I didn't know that. You know what? I'm going to have to rewatch Choke. Because, like I said, I do remember it, and I do remember kind of being underwhelmed. I can't pinpoint why, though. You know what? That's unfair. I need to rewatch. That should have gone on the rewatch list, and that's my bad. It doesn't have a good Rotten Tomatoes rating, but then again, I know those are paid for, motherfuckers. So I'm not sure, but... Yeah, you know, I don't know. I need to check that one out. It has such a great cast, and it was a really good book. And so I don't know why exactly it didn't do well. I'm gonna have to rewatch that one. So let's just get past that one for now. I'll follow up on that. So we got about 6 minutes left. I'm gonna bust through these last two. This is the most populated tier, this fourth tier, and I'm gonna try to get through them here. All right. So these movies again, great effort. Maybe one or two funny moments, but overall, like, what the fuck were these movies? I'm not going to shuffle them. I'm just going to read them from the list I've got here. Role Models. Again, there's a funny bit about, like, you know, the, like, oh, Nothing in Here's Large from Paul Rudd, and everything's called Venti and everything, whatever. That movie actually did a pretty good job of another Elizabeth Banks movie. She was going off in 2008. But she points out, like, you're just basically a curmudgeon edgelord who's trying to make everything a problem. And honestly, I think that was an important thing to say to white men in 2008. So, at least it did that. And it had some funny moments. But overall, man, like, God, it's just kind of a weird movie. It's just very awkward. And, like, the McLovin plays, like, a 25-year-old. I mean, I don't know how old he was, but it just felt like... greasy guy in his mom's basement. I don't know. It just wasn't for me. I love Paul Rudd, though. All right, moving on. Yes Man. Another just like, what the fuck is this movie? I love Jim Carrey. You know, he had already done Mr. Popper's Penguins or whatever. So he was already going downhill. And this just felt like another one. Again, one or two maybe funny moments, but it just felt cringe. It's just... I gotta say yes to everything, and then one of Bradley Cooper's first movies, and then he had Zooey Deschanel being all cute and zany, and turns out she's just gonna marry a real estate mogul, and just be any like vanilla regular old fucking bangs woman. Anyway, just did not enjoy that movie. All right, Baby Mama. Hey, I love Tina Fey. I love Amy Poehler. But a lot of those fucking SNL movies just feel like skits that go on too long, and that was definitely one of them. Okay, we're getting down to like 3 minutes here, so I really want to get through these. Sex Drive, another one on the effort list. They gave effort. Hey, you know, they made a movie, one or two kind of funny parts, but dude, Sex Drive, I don't know why that was as popular as it was. I mean, because any other, maybe because that MGMT, you know, and then it had the guy from Hot Tub Time Machine that. I got glasses. Any other marketing scheme, it just would have been a straight to DVD B movie. But I guess it just had more advertising and funding behind. I don't know. It's really not good. It's not trash. There's some funny moments, and there's a story there. But overall, like, no. Leatherheads, directed by George Clooney. John Krasinski's like one of his first movie starring roles. It's just not fun. It's just a weird. I don't know. Get Smart, Steve Carell. That's another one. Dude, that movie's so weird. If you watch it again, it is not funny. It is just cheesy, and maybe that's the point. Maybe the TV show back in the day was cheesy, but by the end of it, you're just fucking exhausted because you can't take any more dad humor. Strange Wilderness, also on the effort. You know, Steve's on, Justin Long, I think Seth, Jonah Hill, and I mean, great, funny cast when they were still young and, like, trying to make their mark, but, yeah, I just kind of missed the mark. It doesn't really have a plot. Like, it's funny until you get to a point where you realize, like, what is happening? Like, this just feels like skits that have nothing to do with one another sometimes, so. And then last on the effort list, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. You know, I don't understand this movie. I went and saw this movie in the theaters. I think the climax of the romantic part of the movie was that Michael Cera fingered Kat Dennings, and I laughed. I don't get that movie at all. Didn't think it was cute. Didn't think it was entertaining. Just kind of wanted to fucking leave. But then, you know, it was a funny punchline whenever the climax of the movie is she gets fingered. It's so stupid. All right, we got three movies in the trash heap here, and we're in our 21st minute, so perfect. All three of these movies include huge starring men who, in my opinion, jumped the shark. You've got You Don't Mess with the Zohan, Adam Sandler, one of his first movies. Mr. Deeds almost jumped the shark, man. That was like the last one of his movies that I actually thought was funny, and that sucks. Because I used to love that guy when I was a child, but I guess that's the point. He makes children's movies, and that's what this fucking was. Don't Mess with the Zohan. Mike Myers in The Love Guru. That was a rough one, too. He definitely jumped the shark. We didn't need The Love Guru. Piece of shit movie. I couldn't even get through it with fucking Justin Timberlake. All right, and Drillbit Taylor, Owen Wilson. Not a good movie. Actually written by John Hughes. Isn't that weird? All right, guys. That was episode 2. Bye.